Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair with Major General Rick Nash, get an update on Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon program, and meet the USAA, a sponsor of the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. We're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair, and we usually, at this point, go to, generally speaking, a message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, but we're doing one step better today. We have the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash, with us. General, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be back on the program.
Sir, you've had quite a day out here at the State Fair already, I understand.
You know, Tom, it's been a great day at the great Minnesota get-together, and certainly a sweltering weather. But first of all, I really need to thank you again for what you do on Clear Channel and AM 1130 and the other 12 stations across Minnesota, and for your service in Vietnam. Right? But I also noticed today, Tom, that you did not march with all of the other veterans that had gathered here this morning. And I'm not sure why that was, but we won't get into that on the program. But again, thank you for your service representing the Vietnam veterans. But today I had the high honor of, along with our Commander-in-Chief, Governor Mark Dayton, to welcome home over 4,000 service members, men and women, who provided service to us from all branches in Vietnam. And so it was a great honor to be able to do that and to be here to thank them personally. And it's the largest turnout that I've seen in the state of Minnesota for our Vietnam veterans. And, you know, we're now in a period of the official commemoration of the Vietnam War era. And while, you know, our today's troops from Afghanistan and Iraq and other places around the world routinely get thanked and welcomed home by for their military service and welcomed home by their communities and families and employers, that certainly was not the case. And you know that very well from your service. And our Vietnam veterans were not able to receive that warm welcome back home. And it's taken far too long to be able to do that and to provide that greeting that they so well have deserved and earned, and to thank them for our country, sending them at the end to an unpopular war. And just basically say thanks.
General, most of my buddies from Vietnam, we came back and went to school and put our heads down and went to work and raised the family, and here we are some 40 years later. But feels good to do something like this radio show, tell the stories of all of our veterans from all of the wars. And but here today at the State Fair, this was an important undertaking for you, wasn't it?
It was. You know, representing, you know, the 14,000 men and women of the Minnesota National Guard is certainly quite an honor to be able to do. But to be able to, you know, thank those personally that have come before us and what they have suffered and endured was really meaningful. And I know that the governor was honored also to be here to be able to speak to the families and to the veterans, and just to tell them how proud of them that we are, and that we are in their debt. You know, on May 28th of 2012, President Obama led our nation in observing the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, and we reflect with solemn reverence upon that valor of that generation, your generation, that served with honor. More than 3 million servicemen and women. You know, and I think we tend to forget that women have served valiantly in most of our wars, and certainly they have served with honor in Vietnam. But so I want to make mention of the great work that they've done over those years during the Vietnam conflict, and to thank their families who stood by them over all these years and helped them through all the issues that they have faced.
You know, General, even as a Vietnam veteran, we don't think about the 3 million servicemen and women that served, but we always think about those that were physically injured or killed in Vietnam.
You're right. You know, you can never say enough to those Gold Star families of the more than 58,000 service members who made the ultimate sacrifice during the Vietnam War. And then to the tens of thousands of troops that bear the wounds, and many of them are here today, and to their families, you know, and sort of you always search for the right words to say when you see amputees and those that are now suffering from Agent Orange that has afflicted many of their lives. And I spoke to many, many veterans today that are now first realizing some of the effects of what they saw and what they endured, as well as the effects of what they went through in Vietnam. And so they now are suffering. But we have a great VA medical center here in Minneapolis. And to the man and to the woman I spoke to today, they cannot say enough about the great service that they get through our VA hospital system here in Minneapolis.
We're speaking with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio and recording live from the Minnesota State Fair. General, do you see any traits in common with my generation, Vietnam, and today's generation, your soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, certainly today, I think, at the Minnesota State Fair, certainly the weather brings back memories, I'm sure, to those that have served in Vietnam and in the Delta and the heat and the humidity. And I know that those that have served in Iraq feel pretty much at home today at this sweltering heat. And so it's probably not as tough on them as it is for the rest of the civilians walking around the fairgrounds. But, you know, over the last 12 years, certainly since 9/11, America has asked our soldiers and our great warriors to do more than just fight our nation's wars. And we tend to end up at the end of that immediate conflict, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan. Our citizen soldiers, our Minnesota National Guard, and our great reservists that serve here in Minnesota, over 6,600 of them, also have been asked to become trainers and to become development experts. And we really rely upon their civilian skill sets that they bring to the service of our nation. And they become road builders, they're engineers. We rely upon our teachers and our medical folks, our nurses and our doctors in civilian life as we deploy. And ultimately, we bring all that together, helping the people of those nations that we've had those conflicts in over the last 10 to 12 years to assist in their nations getting back on their feet, much as we did with the Marshall Program after World War II. And so, you know, we learned so much of these skills from those that went before us and those veterans that were here from Vietnam. And we really rely upon those Vietnam veterans that were here today and learn from them, as well as the Korean and World War II vets, to validate, you know, our current ethos, our values, and responsibilities to further protect our nation and our communities and our freedoms and our very way of life.
General, I know it takes a couple of decades to get to be a two-star general, and you've been at it a long time. Do you have any personal memories of the Vietnam era?
Well, you know, I guess my personal memories, you know, as a young man growing up in Jordan, Minnesota, was from the, as I told the veterans this morning, from TV, because it was, you know, really the first war that was broadcast on nightly news, on TV, color TV at that time even, about the daily activities and the wounded and the killed in action in Vietnam. So it became very real. And the war lasted so long that, you know, it covered my youth and my young adulthood. And so I saw that, not ever thinking that that was going to be going on for the period it did, that I would be involved in that. So just seeing the newscast coming across from a far across nation that people on the map probably couldn't find was pretty dramatic. And so as I you know, became older and went through college and received my diploma in 1972, my first job was with the federal government. And very few people know that, because it was a draft notice. And so I became a lottery number winner, number 71, and the draft went to number 90 that year. So I was in the military through the draft, which, as you know, and most of your listeners know, ended 6 months later, January of 1973.
Started you on a wonderful career, though, General.
Well, it's not the career that I really would have chosen. My degree was in education. I would hope to be a high school teacher and a coach. So My career path changed a little bit with that postcard that says "Greetings from the President."
General, are there any common issues facing our today's service members that that we faced in Vietnam?
You know, I think today, and I think all of the support organizations that our veterans were able to walk through down at Heritage Village, that are really out there supporting all veterans of all generations, to help them with a number of issues, whether it's medical issues, mental health issues, dependency issues, employment issues. And that's the point, I think, the commonality, that's the other enemy that we had to face when we returned through our last conflicts, whether it was in Iraq or Afghanistan. And that's the challenge of employment, especially among our women veterans.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your huge efforts on behalf of our returning service members to help them find employment. We're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair, and we've been talking to the Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined this afternoon by our Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, recording live from the Minnesota State Fair. General, we've been talking about Military Appreciation Day at the fair and how they've honored Vietnam veterans, over 4,000 of them in a parade, and comparing what you've learned from Vietnam and your great career with the Minnesota National Guard. One of the things that we've talked about on the radio show before was the 1st Brigade Combat Team. You sent 2,700 soldiers over to Kuwait to help pull our troops out of Iraq. And while they were there, you went to great lengths to put together what was called an employment resource team to help those service members find jobs when they come back. Can you fill us in on that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Tom. When we had the brigade combat team that was stationed in Kuwait and in Iraq, southern part of Iraq, their final mission was really finishing up their work in Iraq. And so they left in December of 2011. Boy, time goes by so fast.
Time flies, sir.
And one of the issues that I was sensing when this unit was going over before they mobilized and left the United States to go to conduct that mission was employment issues when they returned, because our nation and our state had high unemployment rates. And so I was concerned bringing them back in terms of what they would be facing and how we could assist them transitioning back into their civilian jobs or for employment or back into schools. And so I traveled over to Kuwait and met with our soldiers and their key leaders. I and the Command Sergeant Major Kahlberg traveled over, and we spent time visiting our soldiers on five different bases in Kuwait. Now, this was after combat operations ended in Iraq, so their mission then was in preparation for redeployment. So they were at five different bases in Kuwait. And I got the sensing from the soldiers, and then we did a survey among the leaders, and we found that somewhere around 28% were going to come back unemployed or underemployed, looking for new positions prior to the ones that they had left. And so that was concerning to me, because that was certainly much higher than our national or our state average. And so I started thinking how we could preempt having our soldiers come back from that brigade, coming back to over 500 communities in the state of Minnesota, and being able to reach out to them with all the systems that we have available and all the agencies that are there to help them. And so I put together a team back in Minnesota, and it was made up of the Department of Employment and Economic Development, the Department of Veterans Affairs, MNSCU, our Minnesota State College University System. I then wanted to put on this team people that could help with that employment of those soldiers who are now basically doing a reduced mission in Kuwait, eating, sleeping, PT. And how could I reach them quickly? So I put together a team from three national corporations who are part of our Yellow Ribbon Network system, and that was Target and Best Buy and U.S. Bank. And so I gathered them up and asked if they were willing to do this. And so I got human resource people from those companies that then put this team together, and we got permission from the active duty Army, Lieutenant General Brooks at the time from 3rd Army, to send this team over. It's never been done before, Tom, to my knowledge, of any state, any adjutant general getting ahead of this unemployment issue. And so this team was given permission at the last minute to travel. And so they spent 14, 16 hours a day at five different bases working with our soldiers who were going to have unemployment issues. And these corporations, the Target, Best Buy, and U.S. Bank, I chose them, and we had others that would have volunteered to do this, but these are national corporations. So soldiers they talked to that were not coming back to Minnesota, what they were able to train them on, they could apply to anywhere that they relocated back in the U.S. And so they worked with them on writing their resume, how to transfer their education that they've had, civilian education, military education, and their experiences, both military and civilian, onto a resume that is the current accepted method for corporations to hire people from. And they also then worked with them and trained them on how to do interviewing skills, how to do a 30-second elevator speech, if that's all the time you've got to sell yourself, and how do you get your resume on the top of the stack? What makes you stand out differently than anyone else? And so they did that for 1,100 soldiers, and we tracked by name who they were. And then when they demobilized back through Camp Shelby, we sent another smaller team down to Shelby, and we worked with them again and by name followed every one of these back through Minnesota. And then with the help of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon team, our St. Paul Chamber of Commerce, and other chambers of commerce around Minnesota, and the National Chamber of Commerce came in and did four national job fairs. And we put on 400 that year, last year in 2012. And the governor proclaimed July Hire a Vet Month, and we did a large event out at the Earl Brown Center with those individuals, those corporations and employers looking to hire veterans. And it was a tremendous success. By November of 2012, the 1st Brigade Combat Team that had a 28% reported unemployment rate now was down to less than 1.5%.
Magnificent success, sir. A great story. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio, recording live from the fair. General, I know one of the issues was that a civilian employer takes a look at what one of your soldiers might have done in combat, and they don't understand the terms. They don't understand how do you translate the military experience into something that makes sense to a civilian employer. And that was one of the big issues you were working on, wasn't it?
That's correct. And a lot of times our soldiers are pretty modest in what they do. They could say, I'm just a infantry squad leader, platoon leader, platoon sergeant. That doesn't transfer well when you talk to corporations like 3M and General Mills and the larger Fortune 500 companies stationed here in Minnesota. And so this team that went there helped them convert that military speak, if you will, to a civilian understood message. And so that was a challenge. And also, because they're so modest, it took a while for us to be able to train our soldiers how to speak for themselves and really tell, hey, I'm a platoon sergeant. I'm responsible for everything that 30 people do each and every day, their mission, their self-being, their training, and accomplishing a mission. And so, you know, that's a skill set that I think most corporations, a self-starter, would want to have, is to have a veteran like that, that with that experience in pretty dire circumstances when people's lives are at stake.
Sir, if you're talking to an employer, a civilian employer today, what would you tell them when they asked you, why should I hire today's veteran?
Well, I think, you know, and I talked to many, many business groups. You know, my experience, 32 years in business, I sort of have a relationship with businesses and how to talk to them. You know, it's a return on equity I look at. And businesses, they understand that. You know, if I'm going to make an investment, how do I get a return on that? So I talk to them in terms of if they hire a service member, it doesn't matter if it's a Iraq veteran, an Afghan veteran, or a Vietnam veteran. They all come with the same basic core values and principles. You know, and they've proven to us over 10 years of conflict, 12 years of conflict, and the Vietnam era, that these individuals are trainable and they're adaptable. They're certainly mature and self-confident in what they do. And I don't think we have to tell any employers that these individuals have worked under pressure, multiple deployments for our state and nation. And so they know how to deal in a pressure environment that our corporations in today's marketplace and in the world economy understand. And these individuals that we have, the leaders that we've developed, through the training that they get in the military, they accept authority and they seek out responsibility and advancement. And these individuals know how to lead and they know how to be led. And I think that the other strong thing that employers should understand is that our individuals that we have, our soldiers, know how to communicate. And they communicate not only verbally and orally and written and extremely to a high degree, but they know how to use the new technology that we have and all the systems that are out there, because I call them kids because they're certainly much younger than I am, but they know how to use the new technology, so they're technologically savvy. And I think the other thing that comes to bear, since this is a world economy we live in, I think corporations with the international experience that our soldiers have had, not only in Iraq and Afghanistan, but in Italy and England, in Kosovo and Bosnia, worldwide, and that's not even touching what our Air National Guard and all the places in the world they've been. They understand how to work in an international environment, how to build relationships, which I think is a very strong factor for corporations to have.
Sir, I think it speaks for itself. When you're out on a convoy duty and you're out in the middle of a mission, if something goes wrong, you just don't go home. You have to resolve it and fix the issue and get back to
they base. They think on their feet and they come up with a solution.
Sir, we're just about out of time. What can people do to assist in hiring a veteran?
Well, Tom, there's a lot of things that we can do. You know, certainly through our Beyond Yellow Ribbon network system that we have, the corporations that are now proclaimed Yellow Ribbon corporations, the communities, the regions, the cities. By the end of this year, we're going to have 63 communities across the state where our footprint is, our Army footprint is. And so that's just phenomenal, the amount of work that's been done in a very short period of time establishing those networks. But I think I would tell our listeners that if they know a business that's looking to hire today's veteran, tell them to visit either their local workforce center or go to DEED's website, Department of Employment and Economic Development. And that website, Tom, for your listener, is positivelyminnesota.com. And register their position if they're looking for someone as veteran-friendly. And so that is a key point because it shows then our veterans where those corporations are that are looking for the skill sets that they have and have attained. And if you are a returning service member or a veteran, and especially those today in your listeners' audience that from Vietnam era that are looking for employment, they should go to positivelyminnesota.com and search for veteran-friendly jobs or take advantage of the tools available to gain resume writing, which is very, very important in today's climate. Networking, obviously, is important, and the vocational education and interview training that's provided. And they've done a phenomenal job, especially since this employment resource team has come back. And so it's just a wonderful location. It's a one-stop shopping for those looking for employment and go to, and it's easy to navigate.
PositivelyMinnesota.com. General, we're just about out of time. One last question. I know that your soldiers and airmen have been deployed repeatedly since 9/11/2001, over and over and over again. What's the status of how are airmen and soldiers in the Minnesota National Guard? How are they faring, sir?
Tom, I'd like to report to your listeners that Minnesota is doing extremely well. The strength of the Minnesota National Guard on the Army side has never been stronger. We're at 119% strength. And on the air side, both the 133rd Airlift Wing in Minneapolis and the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth that flies the F-16s, they are both over 102% strength. Young men and women are still seeing opportunities to join our organization and to serve our state, our communities, and our nation.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And again, thanks to your listeners for turning in to these channels and to all the clear channel support that we get. And the last point I'd like to make, though, is that especially today with the Vietnam veterans, we need to solve the veteran homeless problem that we have in our nation.
Thank you, sir. That was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with an update on Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Program.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update on Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
As we gather at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, I want to thank the State Fair for their continued support of our military members and veterans. This is the third year they have offered Military Appreciation Day at the fair. A special thank you to our sponsors for their support as well. There was a parade and special program in which Minnesotans showed their support and said thank you to our Vietnam-era veterans. And as a Vietnam veteran, I want to personally thank all of Minnesota for their support of veterans of all generations. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Seems like we're always meeting out at the fair.
Absolutely.
Annette, can you tell our listeners the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program? I know that you were there at the beginning. Tell us how this all evolved and where are we at?
Well, Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program really asks communities, counties, and companies to synchronize their efforts and to share all of their resources in support of service members, veterans, and military families.
And Annette, you got there because you were one of the first, you were helpful or started the first Yellow Ribbon program. How many years ago now?
Oh, it was 2008. Our first Yellow Ribbon community of Farmington started, and then other communities just started to help synchronize their efforts and come together as communities to support our service members.
Did you ever guess when you were going to St. Catharines that you were going to, you'd end up being the Director of Military Outreach?
No, I did not, and I came from Target Corporation, and that was our first Yellow Ribbon company, and came over here and really just started helping other companies with the program as well.
Now, Annette, I know a couple of years ago, the Adjutant General asked you to get a Yellow Ribbon community everywhere we have an armory. How are we doing?
Yes, we have a great challenge. 63 armory and airbase communities across Minnesota, and our goal was to have a Yellow Ribbon network in each of those communities. And we're proud to say we're down to our last 7 that are working towards becoming Yellow Ribbon communities, and we will be done by the end of this year. So every family, any military family, any veteran can get help all across Minnesota.
And you'll be able to talk to the Adjutant General again.
Absolutely. We will do it.
Now, you said, are we up to how many communities now?
Right now, we have 170 cities, 30 companies, and 20 counties who have made the commitment to form a Yellow Ribbon network made up of key areas throughout a community or company. And what's really great about that is it allows our communities and companies to really, truly synchronize efforts by having representation from all across an organization or all across a community, from public safety to the business community to veterans organizations to the school districts. They're all coming together at one table to form one committee in support and to make sure that all of their resources are shared throughout a community.
You've really crisscrossed the state in the last couple of years, haven't you?
Oh my goodness, we have been everywhere. And Minnesota communities have been responding beautifully to our request for help. They have been able to really synchronize their efforts. And we have connected resources in a community that didn't know, even in our small communities, we've connected resources that didn't even know about each other previously, that they were helping veterans or they were helping military families. And we've been able to make these connections across Minnesota.
Now, Annette, for those listeners that maybe haven't heard us talk before, can you give us some samples of what the Yellow Ribbon communities do within their areas?
Yes, our Yellow Ribbon communities synchronize volunteers to help with anything from lawn care, child care, household, rides to the VA for appointments, help in moving our military families when they need help moving. But also, they also work with making sure that our schools have identified the military children in all their schools and that all the administrators know about the resources available that are unique to military children. So we have those in all the school districts. In fact, we developed a toolkit that we made available to all the school districts throughout Minnesota to really support our military youth with curriculum to support our military youth. And the Yellow Ribbon Networks went into the schools to make that happen. Also, our business community, you heard General Nash talk about the veteran employment issue, and our businesses have worked through our Yellow Ribbon networks to connect people with resume reviewers and interview preppers and networking help to get them in the kind of career that they would like.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, let's back up for just a minute. Since September 11th, 2001, there's been thousands and thousands of deployments. The Minnesota National Guard and our reserves have been really busy. But when one spouse is deployed half a world away, it's kind of hard for the other spouse to take care of the children and get things done. And it's really the basic reason why we wanted to create the Yellow Ribbon Networks, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are finding that our military families, if they move frequently, they often had not had a chance to join a church or know their neighbors. And the Yellow Ribbon Network really helps reach out to those military families. And what we're seeing now is a wonderful thing, where military families are connecting with their Yellow Ribbon Network even before a deployment to begin to set up those support systems. And we have help for spouses taking kids to soccer, making sure that we give mom or dad a break from the kids and getting them in church activities throughout the community. And it's just been a wonderful community builder throughout Minnesota.
So, Annette, while you're out there forming all of these networks, and what a job, by the way, there's I can't believe you've got that many done. But there are a lot of organizations out there to help support the troops and their families, such as the Family Assistance Centers, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, a lot of different organizations. Are you helping the Yellow Ribbon communities to understand the resources available so that they don't reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, so last year we really saw the value of bringing our Yellow Ribbon companies together to share best practices, to update them on the resources so they didn't have to recreate the wheel, and to make sure that they understood what resources were available to them. And the concept is truly simple. We're surrounding our Yellow Ribbon networks with Family Assistance Center personnel, family readiness support assistants that help with our deployed families, and with the county veteran service officers and the deed veteran employment reps, as well as employer support of the Guard and Reserve volunteers. This support team really encircles the Yellow Ribbon networks to provide them the support and to connect them to the resources available in their county and even state and federal resources.
So part of your efforts is not only to form the Yellow Ribbon networks, but to educate them about all the resources that are available to help support the troops and their families so that they really don't go reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely. So, for example, we have a Minnesota Military Family Foundation that is a wonderful, offers grants for our service members and their families. So our Yellow Ribbon networks don't have to fundraise. We direct them to the grant and those services that can be available to military families throughout Minnesota. And then our Yellow Ribbon networks focus on the volunteer aspect, providing resources in the community, but then tapping into the Minnesota Military Family Foundation grant to really get the financial need met within a family.
And even within the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, which I sit on the board of, a lot of the other resources have supported us, and we support them so that they know that we take care of Minnesota military families, so that if they are contacted by someone, they send them over to the Family Assistance Centers, they get into the process, we take care of them quickly, it's done.
Absolutely, and that's truly working, and we know we need to do more. We know we need to make sure that we're synchronizing efforts across Minnesota.
Annette, what's on the future? Are you working on the Yellow Ribbon Company program now?
Yes, the Yellow Ribbon Company is the same process in which we ask a large organization to connect and synchronize resources, but we're also connecting them to the Yellow Ribbon Community Networks. So often many of our companies have volunteers on their local community network to help.
Annette, you've been a busy lady. How many more communities do you think you can get?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're working with probably a total of 24 communities right now, and we're always open to more communities who want to join the effort, and we can reach every veteran, every military family member within Minnesota.
Are the original Yellow Ribbon networks staying invigorated? Do they have a defined mission? Do they know what they're out there to do? Are they losing any ground, or are they still with it?
They're doing great. In all of our Yellow Ribbon, in our Armory and Air Base communities, we have a unit representation from the National Guard who's on the committee. But then we're connecting those networks to their non-Armory neighboring networks. And Farmington, for example, is planning their 5th anniversary celebration this December, and we're going to make a big celebration to celebrate all their sustained effort that they've made since 2008.
Annette, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about your Yellow Ribbon network and all the work you've been doing?
No, I would like to thank the state of Minnesota. They have just been absolutely wonderful. Our communities across Minnesota have answered the call for help, have connected and synchronized their efforts, and we're so grateful. It truly is making a difference for our veterans and military families.
Annette, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair. We'll be right back with the USAA, a sponsor of Military Appreciation Day. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair. Joining me today is Charles McLaurin, Who is the director of the USAA Military Affairs Operations Unit, and Mike Evans from USAA Military Affairs. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to be with you today.
Charles, I understand that you were in the United States Air Force, and you got out as a chief.
I spent 29 years in the Air Force, and it was absolutely wonderful. I love serving our country.
Well, it's good to have some Air Force guys joining me on the radio. I've always got these Army fellows around, you know.
Absolutely. Two Air Force guys, an Army brigade. We can handle it.
All right. And Mike, you were in the military in the Army.
Yeah, I was in the Army for 25 years and then retired from the Army and spent 4 years working as an Army civilian before coming to work for USAA. So enjoy every minute of the time I get to spend with military members and their families.
Well, gentlemen, this was a big day at the Minnesota State Fair, Military Appreciation Day. How's it been for you so far, Charles?
It has been fantastic. In fact, it has been overwhelmingly impressive. The things that the Minnesota National Guard has done here today has just been so impressive, not only for the Vietnam veterans, but for all veterans who serve our great country.
And Charles, USAA is a sponsor of Military Appreciation Day at the fair. Can you tell us a little bit about USAA and why are they sponsoring this Military Appreciation Day?
Well, USAA has been around for 29 years. Since 1929, for 91 years. USAA was actually started by a group of 25 Army officers. These Army officers could not get insurance from other insurance carriers, so they started their own company. And that company has now grown from 25 members and will actually surpass 10 million members in October of this year. So for USAA to be here, it's an absolute honor and pleasure to be able to serve those who've served our country.
And Charles, I understand that today USAA is a diversified financial services company offering banking, investing, and insurance to currently serving military members, veterans, and their families.
That is correct. USAA has a matrix of products for our members. And one of the things that we talk about at USAA is we provide solutions, not necessarily to sell somebody something, but to provide our military veterans, our military members, and their families solutions to the financial needs that they might have.
Charles, can you just fill me in a little bit? Why is it so important for USAA to be the title sponsor of the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair?
Well, one of the things that we say at USAA, we take care of the military because it's the right thing to do. Our military has made tremendous sacrifice for us to be able to put on events such as the Minnesota State Fair. And so for USAA to be here as a title sponsor to recognize and honor the men and women who serve our great country, we're just honored and privileged to be able to do that.
And Mike, I want to come over to you. What does USAA do for veterans and Vietnam veterans in particular? We had a few Vietnam veterans out marching in the parade today, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Melanie earlier, and she was expecting 1,000 Vietnam veterans, and I think the number was closer to 4,000. So just to see those Vietnam veterans come out and the community here at the Minnesota State Fair welcome them home formally like that. It was just a great event. We don't do anything specifically for the Vietnam veterans. We treat all military members, veterans, and their families the same. If they've honorably served our country, we want to serve them.
Yeah, it was great to see some of my Vietnam buddies out here today, and I didn't expect 4,000. I don't think Melanie did either. Mike, you work in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm the Minnesota military affairs rep, and that includes Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So I run around four states doing things like this today, supporting military members, veterans, and their families at various events.
So you're kind of the outreach for USAA in Minnesota.
I spend a lot of time in my car going to and from different locations, doing what we can do to help our military members.
So how many USAA employees do we have in this region?
In this region, I'm the only military affairs rep, but we have a number of claims folks throughout the four states and a number of adjusters. I don't know that exact number, though, but I know we have a number of them running around supporting our members.
And how do you find veterans that need your services?
You know, it's amazing. They come to us. They hear about us through word of mouth. They hear about us on the TV or at events like this, and they hear good things about us, and they want to learn more. And all it takes is a phone call or a visit to the website, and we're there to help them.
Chief, I'm wondering, after 29 years in the Air Force, how did you feel today seeing 4,000 of my old buddies from Vietnam marching in a parade?
It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
They put on a pretty good show over there, too, with Rocky Lynn.
They put on a fantastic show.
Do you get to see events like this around the country?
I get to see events like this around the country, but I have to tell you that I have not seen an event this huge in the last several years. This was amazing.
So did you get to spend a little time today with the Minnesota National Guard and meet General Nash and some of his senior leaders?
I got to meet with General Nash. Also met the great governor of your state. And it was just an honor and a privilege for USAA to be here to honor the great folks of this state.
Well, I'm sure a lot of my Vietnam veteran buddies that marched in that parade took note of who the sponsor was. And Mike, you might be a little busy come next few weeks.
Well, you know, we're always looking for new opportunities to support military members, veterans, and their families, and I'll be standing by waiting for the phone call or the email and do what I can.
Charles, we just got a couple of minutes left. Can you walk us through some of the things that you offer in USAA just a little deeper?
Sure. Just some of the things that we provide. We talk about our legacy at USAA. And when we mean legacy, what we mean about legacy is we're talking about the family members of those who serve as well, who are also eligible for USAA. So if there's a son or a daughter who has not served our country, but because of their mom or dad's service, they become eligible for USAA as well. And that legacy is passed from one generation to the next. So we're just honored to be able to serve those who serve our country.
Charles, you and Mike are smiling a lot today. I'm thinking that after serving long careers in the military, you found a home with USAA.
We have a home with USAA. USAA is a tremendous company. One of the things about USAA is our board of directors is all military. And, of course, we have a tremendous chief executive officer who's a retired Army two-star general who is a Vietnam veteran in his own right. So we're honored to work for a great company.
Now, Mike, after your career in the Army, having a chance to take care of our veterans, you're smiling, too. You must enjoy this.
Yeah, you know, Tom, I was a longtime USAA member before I had the opportunity to come to work for USAA. And they took care of me as a member through all those years. So when the opportunity came up to work for USAA and continue to support our men and women in uniform, I jumped at it. And it is a great company to work for. And we're just honored and humbled to be able to take care of these military members and their families.
So once again, USAA offers banking, investing, insurance. Do you do mortgage products as well?
We do mortgage products as well, absolutely, yes.
All right, caught you guys sleeping at the switch there. Charles, any final thoughts for our listeners on Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair?
Well, again, just thank you to the great state of Minnesota for allowing USAA to be a part of the Minnesota State Fair today. Our hats go off to the National Guard who put on this tremendous event to recognize the Vietnam veteran. And again, just thank you so much to our Vietnam veterans for their service and for the things that they continue to do in this great country of ours.
Thank you, Chief. Mike, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that the same thing and echo what Charles said, that when Melanie came to us back in June, it was a short notice. Hey, would you be interested in sponsoring this event? And without hesitation, I said yes. And here we are today, and it just was a great event, and appreciate the opportunity.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Charles McLaurin, Director of USAA Military Affairs Operations Unit, Mike Evans, USAA Military Affairs Rep for Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Annette Kuiper, Charles McLaurin, Mike Evans, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we witness the commissioning of the USS Minnesota from Norfolk, Virginia. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.